morning. This is Char.
Good morning, Char. This is Margaret.
Sorry, I am a
couple. That is all at once.
Sorry, I am a couple of minutes late here. We have houses, and it was I need to get someplace where I was away from them, and it was quiet here. So I heard everybody at one time. If you guys want to just go ahead and start out with your points, that would be wonderful. I think I heard Jeannie and I heard Mary, I believe.
Jan.
Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Char.
Anybody else?
This is Marcus with 8 points.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great, Char. And you?
Doing great. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
I like it.
That was a nice wake-up call, huh? Good morning. This is Char Rogers with Advanced Lifestyle. Who's just clicking on with us that would like to say good morning and tell us who they are?
This is Darlene. I'm ready.
Good morning, Darlene. Anybody else who has missed?
Monty's here.
Good morning, Monty.
Good morning, Char. I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's okay. I was, I think, by my clock, automated clock, 2 minutes late, so... Anyway, I guess we all have that right once in a great while. Okay, you know what? I would like to start out with... may have been cut out. Okay, anyone that would like to speak or ask a question, participate in that way. If you want to star 4 to increase your volume, that would be great. This is the Advanced Lifestyle Call. I'm Char Rogers, and we had a great guest on yesterday, actually two of them, and I would just like to hear any comments or questions you have on that at the very beginning. If you missed that call, by the way, you can go to Focus on Growth, .com, and on the right left-hand side of the main page, you'll see a bright red column. At the bottom of that, it'll say Advanced Lifestyle, and you can look for yesterday's date, which was the 16th, and that will give you the call, recorded call to listen to free with Dr. Ron Dillman. I should say probably Lynn Dillman and Dr. Ron Dillman. That was the order that a great deal of the nation was extended by. And I was told by several that they did an incredibly good job of presenting and useful information. So I would like to just address any comments or questions that you may have had on that yesterday or thoughts. Anything that jumped out at you that was useful, that was new, that was thoughtful? Excuse me? I didn't
Well, Char, I think the thing that kind of jumped out was me is that they had previously already been involved in this way of a lifestyle, the way of eating and the plant-based food, and to kind of when they moved away from down in that area up to back up to or to Reading or whatever the situation was, that they kind of got away from the I'll call it the support. That maybe daily reminder or whatever, like I think Lynn said that the Dr. McDougall had a radio program that she listened to or whatever. And I think that, again, is real important, you know, even though they had been on it for some time, that even though they got away from the support, that they kind of then moved away a little bit from that particular way of eating. And now to be able to hear that, you know, hear them back on that way, and feeling the way that they felt, and you know, particularly listening to Ron and how he seemed to be quite enthusiastic in regards to his health and how much better they felt going back to something that they knew about and knew basically pretty well much worked, but yet kind of ventured away from it. And so that was very impressive for me to realize that here again, these calls are, they're here and they're offered every Monday through Friday. You know, there is validation again for support, whatever it is that you're doing.
I agree, Monty, and very excellently put with the comments there, because that was one thing that impressed me and why I wanted them to be on the call and share that information. And then also the other thing that jumped out at me was the fact that once Ron, especially with his medical background, got the information, it was so valid that he, you know, he said, and I don't know, he said on the call, he wondered why they ever walked away from it, because it made so, there was so much logic behind it, but then didn't have the China study to read. And this has been our emphasis right along. If you have any inkling in going that direction, you need to read that piece of information, that compilation of information, actually, what it is, to understand the importance of it. And that does by far the very best job of explaining it all put together. And I think everybody on here that has read it would give that information, would say the same thing. In fact, maybe let's address some questions or comments just to that particular situation as far as the part that plays with it. In other words, where the China study came in as far as how that placed you in the situation for knowing that you needed to do something about it. Anyone?
Well, I'll speak up. Go ahead.
So I was just going to say, anyone that's reading the book or read it.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, I'll speak up. You know, it was when you read the book and you hear about all these people, and then I think Carol Guth really brought it out. I think it was on one of your first calls, Char, when that was one of the things that impressed Dr. Guth, was the simple fact was that, you know, not only was the information there in the book itself, but at the back of the book and the research that she talked about, Ron talked about the same thing, you know, the research that's there to back up everything he says, and the way that he says it. I'm not really a technical person, but yet in reading that book, I couldn't put it down, because the information there was so valuable, but yet so made sense to me, so logically made sense to me. It wasn't something that I felt I had to fight mentally. It was my gosh, you know, when he talks about, you know, the 880 people, 880 million people in China that was done during the China study, and what the results they found there, the research that he had did with his group, what they had found and everything else. And then when he talks about diseases and how you can turn them on and turn them off, and I looked at America, and, you know, we're going to keep getting sicker. I know our population keeps going up and keep getting sicker, but yet technology and medicine comes along, but the same treatments are there for basically for how many years for cancer that have been there, that nothing changes, but yet when you have the opportunity to change to a plant-based diet, and like Dr. Campbell says, is that how you can switch those genes off and on, not just for cancer, but the body itself can turn itself on to do the right things and flip the right switches, let me put it to you that way, in regards to almost any kind of an illness that we have or a chronic disease. That has to be impressive, in my opinion.
I agree. Anyone else?
This is Jeannie. I, liking health and nutrition for the majority of my life, it makes it simple for everyone to know that by eating a certain way, an easy way actually, this addresses all the diseases, you know, pretty much. Keeping yourself fed the right way, you know, it just made sense to me.
He's putting it in our hands totally. And as you said, Jeannie, for the most part, because the huge, huge percentage of the diseases that we're dealing with in this country, it's up to us to not deal with them to begin with. not about wanting to wait until we get them and then trying to modify to get rid of them. No, no. It's about preventing them. Now, if we're already there, yes, we have the opportunity to reverse them in ways that has never been acknowledged by the medical field, percentages that have never been acknowledged by the medical field, Western medicine, that is, anyway. So, I disagree wholeheartedly, and also on the simplicity. Let's address that a bit, because I know that many times I have been reminded to keep it extremely simple so that anyone can do this, and I tend to want to take it to the nth degree as far as my knowledge. In other words, I want to start and do the very, very, very best job I possibly can, where other people need to start in a more simplistic way and not need or not have the time or the knowledge to do it in the deepest form. When I say that, I mean starting every recipe from scratch, or I can't say every recipe, but the majority of the recipes from scratch and so on. We do have a lot of conveniences that we can use that are still good and still stay away from both the animal part of it and also the processed part, because those two go hand in hand. We can give up the animal part of it and hang on to the processed part. And I thought last night as I was doing a product that is a substitute for cream cheese, I looked at the label and I thought, this is highly processed. Why do I want to be doing this? I don't want to be doing it. And my excuse at the beginning was, I want to try it just to see if it's a substitute. Now, does that mean I could never, ever, ever use it? No, but there's no reason I really want to use it. So it's like, what percentage of the time would I want to incorporate that into my food intake? Not. So the simplicity is, on the other side, instead of looking for a substitute, just not have that, but for convenience in things like frozen vegetables, when the ones you want aren't available, or they may give you a better quality. And another one is in canned vegetables that you may use in a stew or a soup or whatever, such as already prepared canned tomatoes, for example. Excuse me. Hit a hoarse spot there. So the convenience of putting together simple things that are quick and easy, and you can find a lot of those on Dr. McDougall's drmcdougall.com, drmcdougall.com, and look at the recipes that they have put together. Approach it from a very simplistic manner to make it easy enough for everybody, and we happen to view part of a DVD of his that showed the simplicity of how they cook. And it was much, much simpler than what I was doing or have been doing. But again, that's where I am, but not necessarily where other people. Jeannie, you've done a lot of cooking in the kitchen, you and Rick. Maybe just a simple idea that you've, or you know, something simple you've put together that you just even off the top of your head as to how you do, you know, I don't care which meal it is, but the simplicity that you've found that can be utilized for something quick and easy.
You know, I was just at, I've been at my mom and dad's last week. I was out of town, and I think they all thought I was trying to convert them. But my parents have been eating pretty well most of their lives. They're very healthy at 80, 87 and 82. But anyway, so they were very willing to try whatever I was doing. But what I did on one meal was I just took some brown rice. I made a bunch of brown rice just so we could have it, you know, for a few days. And I had bought, corn was on sale, 4 for $1. I took the corn off the cob. And onions and some zucchini and yellow squash. And I just sort of sauteed the onions and the zucchini and yellow squash. And mixed it in with the rice, and then I took some of the corn and put it in there too. And it was delicious, you know, some spices, whatever they had there. I think some basil and salt, pepper, you know. And it was just delicious, and we ate in on that for a few days, a couple of days anyway. And then I bought a bag of spinach. I love spinach for spinach salad. And had some raw zucchini and stuff and put that on there too. And at one time I just put the rice right on top of the salad. So that was one thing we did. It was really quick.
And that sounds really simple, and you're using fresh produce that's available right now.
I've been doing a similar thing, but I'm only using one pan. I make the rice, but into it I add garlic, onions, and then at the end I was cutting in some red pepper for color. I threw in some frozen peas for color. You could put zucchini or any other vegetables, but cook it all at the same time, then you don't have to dirty the other pan.
That sounds great.
That sounds really easy.
Easy as me.
That was great, Nancy. Thank you. Both of those excellent ideas. What about you gals with breakfast and even snacks? What are you doing? Because I know we've got to eat in between meals. I mean, I know when we get hungry, we're hungry, more so than we've ever been before. Like now. Ooh, sweet.
What I do is I cut up some, since the fruit is so nice now, so when I come home from the grocery store, I'll cut the fruit up and make like a fruit salad and keep that in the fridge. Cut up some celery sticks, carrot sticks maybe. And that's what we do. Now, for something simple, I don't know. Hummus maybe?
There you go.
What do you do, Nancy? That's what I try to do, is have some fruit available.
I always have huge fruit salad, but I think I'm OD'ing on fruit because my scale, although I know the scale is just a number, it's not doing anything. So I don't know whether I'm having too much fruit or not.
This is Mary Jane. I like to take, if there's, I get some Mexican bean dip. And I take the romaine leaf, and I take and put some of that inside of this stock, you know, the heavier stock, fold it over, and then eat it. It's delicious.
That sounds really good. In fact, that reminds me of what we have friend Kathleen Anderson here as house guest also, and she said to me last night, she says, if you've got a tortilla, we can throw anything inside a tortilla that we want on the healthy end of it and roll it up, and everybody thinks it's a great, you know, a great,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a snack or whether it's part of your main course, a nice way of presenting it. And you can layer it too with, she had mentioned, you can layer it with the green leaves and then, you know, a hot bean or rice dish in it, or a mixture of veggies and either of the, you know, grains. Works great, and, you know, I hadn't done that, and that's about as simple as you can get. So whatever you have in the refrigerator to work with, plus whatever else you want to add that's either frozen or canned, and just watch the number of ingredients on the label and make those choices healthier when they come home from the store. So, boy, I think we got some great ideas here. Anybody else? Any other snacks or even into a breakfast?
My question is, what are people using for, like, the, quote, main course, their entree?
I think you've just given them. I know what...
Well, but... No. Go ahead.
Well, Jeannie, you addressed that. I think what you were given, that was your main course, what you were doing.
Yeah, that's what we did, the big rice dish. We have done... pasta, like a whole grain pasta, and then we do a canned tomato. Last night we did this, a canned tomato sauce. You know, you just add to it, take the canned chopped tomatoes and
mm-hmm.
we have a basil plant here that's growing wildly, so we just pick some of that off and use that. But any, you know, any kind of, again, your spices, put some garlic and onions in it and dump that on top, and a big salad on the side. We always try to have a bigger salad than the pasta dish, rather than the reverse, which we used to do in the past. So that always works really good. I use a base. I use a grain as a base. I think I was reading in the Rafe diet book about layering. Has anybody read that? Layering, where you have your grain on the bottom, and it could be a potato, it could be a rice, it could be a pasta, or it could be just a big bunch of lettuce, you know, big, I like spinach as a base. And then you, on top of that, you add your, you could do your vegetables, or at any time you could just have the vegetables and not the grain, too, just have a bigger portion. And any kind of steamed veggie, it could be a raw or a steamed, or a, you know, that could be come from the frozen, too. My mom and dad do the frozen vegetables because it's more convenient for them. And then you can have fruit, and then you layer it up like a pyramid, you know, and at the top you have your sprinkling of nuts or oil, you know, to keep it all portioned. But I kind of keep that in my mind about layering, and so it could be I choose what I want on the bottom, so to speak, and it's not that you have to layer it like that, but in my mind I think of that that way. Does that make sense?
That's like your pyramid.
Yeah.
Your food pyramid from, yeah.
Like a food pyramid. He talked in there somewhere about layering, and that stuck in my mind.
I've always had a big salad for dinner and fruit, you know, a fresh fruit salad. And so,
or it could be beans. You know, your beans are in there too somewhere.
And that's one thing I have to start using. Okay. Okay.
But the beans aren't the big portion on the bottom, though. They're like midway up.
Okay. As the grains would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the greens too. Now we did that last night with dinner. Kathleen made a huge tossed salad, and it was actually, it was great because it's so fun to have other people do things, and you get to actually see and eat with them. And so I put her in charge of the salad, and there were more of the veggies in it, meaning zucchini, cucumber, tomato, other one, zucchini, cucumber, tomato, carrot, the chopped vegetables, and less of the lettuce, the actual lettuce that was in there. She said, you know, we'll emphasize the raw vegetables for a part of our dinner. And so we didn't actually stack them like Jean was saying, but, you know, I wasn't thinking in terms of the layering. But then we had a dish that I had made earlier in the day that was like a hearty stew. What did they call it? Spaghetti, bolognese. And it was made with soybeans, and it had soybeans, and it had corn, and it had a tomato base, diced tomatoes. I did start with canned tomatoes, and then the some of the fresh vegetables again diced and put in there and cooked it. I, for time wise, when I was preparing it, I had to do it in a pressure cooker because it was supposed to slow cook for hours. Well, I didn't have hours for it to slow cook. Or even in our cookware, I knew it would take longer. And so I just threw it in my pressure cooker, and it was like 10 minutes. And the soybeans I had done separately with two 10-minute intervals because I decided to put some of them in. Oh, and there were black olives, and there were green olives in there also. Well, that was a pretty heavy dish. And so we didn't need, you know, a very large serving of it. So with the layering it, so to speak, with the sauce salad was great. And then we had just really small rounds of a whole grain French bread with it. And that was our meal, and it was very simple. And that was a recipe that came right out of the restaurant or out of the grocery store in the bean section. And I just grabbed it, and the only thing I had to leave out was out of the entire batch that served about 15 people when I made it. The only thing I left out was a fourth of a cup of Parmesan cheese. So it wasn't even there. Nobody had a clue that there was even supposed to have been anything like that in there.
sounds like a chili.
It was. It was very similar to that, not those seasonings, because it was basil, oregano, and I can't remember what the other one was. And we did have garlic and onion in it also. So,
are you going to send us that recipe?
I will. I will just type that one off and do it. Just don't hold it for today. We've got house guests still in that mode. Anybody else? We're right up to the bottom of the hour. And
I just want to make a comment about the book. For anyone who's struggling through it, the first two chapters I found were rather tedious, but it does get easier.
Thank you. I had forgotten that part, and I relate to exactly what you said there. It moved very quickly.
Yes, it does.
I was intent on it, but still, to get the information, and it just comes together very easily.
Mm-hmm.
The part three where it talks about the Good Nutrition Guide is a real, he goes through different principles of food and health and the benefits of it. I think it's chapter 11 or something like that. Is really good to, I just refer back to, once I've read the book, try to go back and read it from start to finish again, but I hop around now. And so he gives different principles and things, and it's good reminders once you've read it to go through, but you could probably just read those parts as well. He talks about how to eat and things like that. So.
Great.
I have a question, Sharon. When you cook with the pressure cooker, I thought the pressure cooker would have destroyed the food value.
It's not retaining it like ours does, but I don't think it would be that much different than a slow crock cooker, because once you've got that much on it. And I did mine very quick just to make things tender. I didn't make them like you would normally have in a soup that's cooked for hours and hours where everything's soft and mushy. It was done very, very fast. So I'm not, you know, technically I don't know whether I can address that. But I just kind of go with the idea that once the heat is applied to that degree, you probably, you know, lost the antioxidants out of them. Sure. But you're using other things, fresh produce, to get those also at the time. So maybe not the greatest ideal, but, you know, sometimes we have to go with convenience time element.
Mm-hmm.
But good question, very good question. Maybe somebody else has more information on that.
I don't have a pressure cooker, so I wouldn't use one anyway. But if you're losing some value from the food, where is it going? Since you're eating all of what's in the pot, does it not stay with what's in the liquid or whatever, or does it evaporate into the air?
Well, the antioxidants are just temperature sensitive. And
destroyed?
And minus the electrons, I think. And you've still got some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're all gone by any means, because what we even talk about with our cookware is retaining 62% of it, percentage. Again, that's only what we're looking for in the food. We're looking for, you know, many other things also. So, like I said, if I'd had the time, I would have done it differently, but that was part of the issue, the time element. Anybody else?
I've got a question. On the Perfect Health book, she advocates eating lots of avocados and nuts. And Dr. McDougall's book, he says absolutely no nuts and avocados because of the fat content. Where do we go? Someplace in the middle?
Someplace in the middle is exactly right, and that's an excellent question. And I've all that and looked at that from several different perspectives. I believe we're probably getting more oils than we need in our diet, and I also realized that what Dr. Campbell stated was looking at where you are, if it's a prevention or a slight modification that you're looking for in your health, if you're dealing with something that is critical to your life, I would be doing exactly what McDougall says in the strictest form, and that's actually get rid of the oil. for the most part. I mean, we're going to get some in Massachusetts that use very, very, very sparingly, right? Because you're doing a different thing. You're doing a major treatment. For the majority of us on the call, it's improving the quality of our health, our lifestyle. So all of these changes, and you can do it in a more gradual way. I haven't gotten rid of probably as much of the oil as I'd like to take out. And this is just going through more of their information and having, you know, a better understanding. So it's a growth cycle. And I think that wherever you are and whatever you're doing is an incredibly good step in that direction. And as we go through this, we'll find out exactly where we want to be. And it may change at different points in different stages, depending on how, you know, how things are going for us or just what we're learning. So thank you for that question. That was Onita, right?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Does that help put it into somewhat of perspective there?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. All right, guys. I need to, as I say, hit the road. I can hear footprints upstairs, and I know people need to be leaving, and I'd like to be able to say goodbye to them. So I just want to thank you all for joining us this morning, those that participated and those that were guests both, for your commitment to improving your health and learning, and for the participants for their commitment to the program and giving out such great ideas and information. And have a wonderful day. And Mary Lou will be with you. Tomorrow is still my day. We're going to be traveling. I'm going to ask if Bonnie's still on the line. Maybe he can pick up and help me out if I'm in a ditch, meaning not literally, but I don't have good coverage tomorrow. So anyway, have a wonderful day, and we will be here tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.